Let's pray together as we open God's Word today. Lord, what a privilege to be in this house of prayer, to come and to seek Your face, to come and to listen for Your call, and to know, Lord, that Your call to us is a call to say yes, a call to give You our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so may we have ears to hear, may Your Holy Spirit have freedom to speak to us and to call us this day as we open these Holy Scriptures. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, question for the boys and girls. What big event happened this last week up in the sky? Okay. Anybody get a chance to, anybody get a chance to put on a pair of these guys right here? I love these things. In fact, someone said, you're going to get rid of those. I said, no, I've always wanted to be able to look at the sun, and now I can. So there it is, you know. But boy, what an amazing, amazing event. So just a quick question to kind of for me to catch up with. How many of you stayed here in the Portland area and were able to see the eclipse? Okay, good, good. How many made a trip, maybe to points south or to points maybe even east and over the mountains? And anybody do that? Yeah, okay, a few hands. Good. It was an amazing event. This event of seeking or seeing the eclipse, and for those who traveled to see totality. First contact was at 9:04. If anybody remembers that, they said 9:04, first contact, and the moon began to take bigger and bigger bites of the sun. And it was kind of fun. Leah and I were kind of watching that and kind of keeping up with what was going on. We knew it was going all the way till 10:19. And we thought, even though we got the glasses, we're not going to stare there. We're going to okay, yeah, there it is, okay, and wait for a while, then look again. But what was interesting as we went on through the time, that as the bigger and bigger bites came, that the quality of light changed. Anybody notice that? It went from a kind of an incandescent, and Leah said, this is like it's going fluorescent on us. It kind of went blue and gray. I mean, it was a different color of light. And it kept going. In fact, there was a moment where someone there near us said, hey, look, the street lights just popped on. And it got to that point of darkness. And then it happened. We reached totality. Now, when totality happened, everybody can tell me a different story, but a lot of it kind of went like, people started cheering, right? I mean, all the stuff I've been watching, there was cheering, there were some babies screaming, there was some cheering. There were people who cried. We won't ask for any show of hands. I almost said a name, but I'm not going to say it, but no show, but there were people who cried. I had several people tell me that they cried. There were people who tied the knot. I saw on the television news, they showed, you know, here they were, and that right then, they actually said the I do words while during totality. There were a number of guys, apparently, go figure, but a number of guys dropped on one knee and proposed marriage right at that point. So there it was. And there were, did anybody see the video of the giraffes at the Nashville Zoo? So the giraffes at the Nashville, Tennessee Zoo, when the darkness came, it says that they all went still. And then when the light popped, boom, they just took, the video I saw was them running around crazily, charging and people go, whoa, look at this. I mean, it was amazing. One of the things I heard a number of times, and this is on radio interviews as well as some on television, I heard people say, it was the most spiritual experience of my life. Powerful, powerful moment of totality. Totality was amazing. Totality was amazing, and I missed it. I missed it. You go, what? What do you mean you missed it? I did. I missed it. I looked at this thing, and I thought, 99.8% in the Portland area, Gresham, why would I go and risk being caught in Carmageddon? Okay. Why would I do this? Every test I ever took in school, if I got 99%, I'm like, 99%. I'm just like, no. And it's so amazing when I look back on this because we got invited by what? Three different people. Our kids, John and Marissa, who live down in Kaiser there at Salem. They get, come on down. No. We're good. And then the Yankees called us, who live down in Liberal. And that's down right near Malala. And in fact, the farthings from Malala called up and said, hey, why don't you come down? And we're going, no, we're good. Actually, That Sunday night, we actually drove down for this little cookout, and we got to see Pastor Chuck and Susie Williams. Anybody remember Chuck and Susie? Well, we got to see them. They had driven up all the way from Napa Valley, California. We're in Malala at the Farthings. They were there to see this totality, experience it. And they're there going, I thought, okay, you drove how many hours? I live just around the corner, and I drive. And people were saying, why don't you just spend the night here? Just spend the night, get up in the morning, watch it, and then go on home and do your day. And going, no, I'm not going to, no, I don't want to get in this whole thing. We missed it. We were there, we're watching, it got darker, and it was, the light changed, and then the lights, street lights came on, people around us, we actually had two pair of these glasses, but a young couple, some of you saw on Facebook, but a couple came over and said, do you have any extra glasses? So we gave one of our glasses to them to share. Leah and I were sharing ours back and forth, and then it was just like, oh, it's getting dark, and then boom, it started getting light again. And the instant that happened, I felt a stab of regret. I mean it. It is this stab that just went, ah, now what? Leanne, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? We're right here. All I have to do is drive down the street. No, there's not that many miles. I can just drive here, and I'm standing here, and we got there, and then we popped out back. And I just felt this disappointment. And as the day went on, my regret just got more and more keen. I mean, I was just like, no. Why? How could I have been this close to something so amazing and then just, and I just, I felt awful. In fact, I know now, I do regret missing totality. I regret it. I'll regret it till the day I die. I know it. I mean this. Look at this. I'll show you what I saw. Here it is. This is what we saw. This is a neighbor of mine. Good friend who does a lot of photography, and he's just a block or so away from us. And that is what we saw. And in fact, I didn't know it. He actually says Portland eclipse, or partial eclipse, 99.4%. It's 0.4. That's what we saw. And this is what I missed. Get ready. Boom. This is from Mark Smith over on the other side of the mountain near Madras, sitting up on a hill there. And yeah, Jeff Humbert's place, and they were just, oh. And I look at this and I go, oh, how in the world? And I look and I think, what was I thinking? I was thinking, well, I don't want to be sitting in traffic and I don't want to be stuck there because, I mean, you know how much. But, and then I go, what? And Leanne said, George, it's not like us. I mean, earlier in the summer, Leanne was required to take a class down at Loma Linda, and I said, let's drive. Let's not fly. I love driving. Let's drive to Loma Linda. I wanted to see Yosemite and Sequoia's on the way. But let's drive. I can't drive down the street to see totality and people come from all over the world. I heard a guy interviewed, and he said, yes, this is my wife, and this will be our 39th. Our 39th. We go all over the world, wherever he says, there's nothing like it. You know, I heard people say this. I was with my friend Chuck Williams going, I drove all the way from Napa. I can't drive down the street. How silly. How silly for the sake of maybe a little bit of traffic on the way home. Oh, how foolish to have missed such an opportunity. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And look at these words. Let me say this before I read the text. This is something that's hit me very hard in the last few days. I'm realizing this. We were created for totality. We are absolutely created for totality. We were not created for a percentage of what God wants to give us. Look at these words. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man found and covered it up. In his joy, he goes and what's he do? He sells 99.4% of what he owns, right? No! He sells the total amount and he goes and he buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding the pearl of great price, what's he do? He goes and sells 99.4% of everything he had. No! He went and sold everything he had, and he buys it. I mean, you and I were created for totality. We were created for this experience, this experience that the Lord wants to offer and to give us. And the question is, are you willing to pay the price? What's the price, Pastor? The price is to surrender self, is to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and to give ourself to Him, and to say yes to Him. It's interesting, the Laodicean message way back there in Revelation 3, it actually says, Jesus says, come, I tell you, I counsel you, come and buy from me gold tried in the fire and white raiment and the eye salve. Come buy this. And you go, what do I have to buy it with? Yourself. Saying yes. To just say yes, I will, what He has to give is our, it's there for us. It was sitting on the table. It's right there, and I left it sitting on the table. I miss totality. Here's Christ saying, I want to offer you this. Are you really going to leave it sitting on the table? Are you going to do this? Really? Are you serious? Let's take a look at what totality actually looks like. Matthew 22, you'll recognize these words. There was quite a debate, of course, as you know, everywhere Jesus was going, the end of his ministry. And one of them comes up, a lawyer, and asks him a question to test him. It's not because he wants to know. He wants to try to somehow trip him up. And so he says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with 99.4% of your heart, right? You know, 99.4% of your soul and 99.4% of your... That's enough. That's good. It'll pass any test on the planet. You know, you'll get into med school on that one. You know, you can get there, lawyer. You can get into law school. You can do it. No. He's saying, and here's the deal. Is it God being arbitrary? Is he being like, oh man, this teacher's really hard. I like teachers who grade on the curve, right? You know, let me just kind of slip in there. And no, it's not about that. This is God saying, look, I want you, I know you, I created you. I want you to have the experience of loving me the way I love you. God love us 99.4? He loves us with His whole heart, soul, mind, strength. God loves us with everything. And that love, that everything that He loves us with, is the love that He is now inviting us to love Him with. And He knows that when we love Him with that kind of love, that we'll experience joy. A joy that we will never experience when we're somewhere in the percentage and dividing up the pie. And here's the deal. Anybody here like a deal? Anybody search for deals? Huh? I know. You know, if I can get something really valuable on the cheap, I love it, you know? God forbid we would do that with God. If I can get God on the cheap, you know? Why that? What we don't realize is that we are missing the very thing God created us for, to experience this totality that indeed... It's interesting, Michael, my friend Michael Cole, who's first service, he came out, he said, you know, George, he said, here's the deal. When you and I say yes and it's 100%, it's easy. When we settle a percentage, try to straddle the fence, it's hard. 100% is the joy. That's the easy. That's where you have that freedom. That's where you and I soar in Christ. But we keep hanging on to this, whatever percentage we're going to hang on to, because, you know, you got to hedge your bets. And what if this thing turns out that, you know, there really isn't? I mean, maybe it just was evolution. I mean, maybe this whole thing really just was a cosmic coincidence. Danny, thank you. Thank you for your post, man. Danny's post, he sends out and says, no. He says, cosmic coincidence? No. He says, look, yeah, the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but the moon is 400 times closer to the earth, and it can do right there. You call it, no, that's not cosmic coincidence. That's a gift from God. You see, we get caught in this. We go, oh no, I'm going to hedge my bets. There might not really be a God. It might all be random and just, you know, what are you talking about? Come on. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. By the way, I read a theologian not long ago, and he made the statement. He says, love God with your whole heart, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the gospel. Yes or no? Well, it's a fruit. See, it's very interesting. The gospel is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest law? He gave, this is not the gospel. This is the greatest statement, magnification of the law. So don't miss that. This is law. This is requirement. This is the Ten Commandments right here. And the gospel is what God gives us in Christ that then sets us free to, what does Psalm 119 say? When you set my heart free, I will run in the way of your commandments. See, that's where the gospel is. So the confusion that can be there, I had someone say to me, well, this whole thing about loving God with your whole heart, they said, oh, but that's Moses. Moses was so difficult. I mean, look at that. You go to the Old Testament, they go to the Torah. You go to the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and you got 613 laws. Oh, it's so hard. But the New Testament, oh, I love the New Testament. There's just two. Love God, love your neighbor. To which I respond, how you doing? How's that going? Loving your neighbor, loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Really loving your neighbor as yourself? I mean, huh. See, we miss what's going on. But here's God, here's the Lord saying, look, I created you for this. I created for this, and I want you to experience what it's like to love me the way I love you. And how much does he love? How much? I mean, you think about this. I mean, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Oh, in the original it says, for God so loved the cosmos. Isn't that interesting? World's a tiny little speck. God so loved the totality of the cosmos that he gives his only begotten Son. And when he gives his Son, he gives his Son knowing what's coming next. You know what the verses say just before John 3:16? What's 14 and 15 say? Jesus says, the Son of Man must be lifted up like the snake in the wilderness. Up on a snake on a stick. Oh, I mean, God so loved the cosmos that he gave this gift. Wow. You're just like, ah, this is huge. Look how big it was in the totality of God's giving. We're going to Matthew now 27. In Matthew 27, verse 45, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land till the ninth hour. People, how many seconds did you experience, those of you in totality? A minute nine, what? Okay. There were people that said, hey, minute 45. People were saying to me, 2 minutes. Someone said to me, 15 seconds. Some said 30 seconds. 3 hours. 3 hours of darkness. You talk about totality. About the ninth hour, which of course would have been so noon to 3 PM, Jesus cries out with his loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? This, you talk about giving it all. That Jesus, who had always had the loving eye contact with his Father, and experiences the eclipse of that, and he cries out in the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? You go, well, what? And we have, you know, arguments and discussions about what? No, just hear it this way. Romans 8, 1, what does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. How can there be no condemnation for my life where there is so many ways in which I have fallen short of his glory, so many ways in which I've hurt others, so many ways. How can there be no condemnation? How is there no condemnation? Because he, in the person of his Son, took it on the cross. He bore the condemnation. It's that. What 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to become what? Sin. He became sin for us. And you go, oh, What an ugly picture. Yes, no wonder he feels the forsakenness of God when he becomes sin. See, God never forsakes the sinner, but God says no and forsakes the sin. And here's one who now becomes sin, and he becomes sin. He's like, I used to think, how can you have Jesus, who's the Lamb of God, this little innocent lamb running around, you know, and suddenly on snake on a stick, oh, he became sin. Lifted up as sin, and you go, oh, there it is. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree. He takes this. And it's because of that that Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He bears what belonged to me. He takes it. And he does it in order that you and I might be raised up from that, united with him in that death, to be raised up with him in that, to bring us back out of darkness, to bring us into the light, to give us his life. You talk about totality. This is huge. It is the greatest gift in the history of the universe. And it's a gift that he's offering you and me, this pearl of great price. So, let's ask the next question. This is God's side. And from God's side, it's totality. He's given it all. So for you and me, what does our path to totality look like? Let's go back and look at these verses, and we're going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy. It's the verses that Jesus actually quoted from Deuteronomy. Did you know that? Jesus is quoting Moses? Uh-huh. Well, not Moses. Moses, that old legalist, that old lawgiver, that old... No, no. Don't you miss this? No. The gospel is present. The gospel is being proclaimed in the Old Testament. It's through Moses, God's servant, that this picture of a sanctuary service and the Lamb of God, actually we get to know. But here we go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And what are these words? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Wow. That's the call that we're being given. Love him with all heart, all soul, all of our mind. There it is. No, it's not the gospel. It's a statement of the greatest law given. In the words of Jesus, it's the great and first commandment to love God with everything we are. And do we? You know, I mean, isn't it interesting? The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why does he have to say that? Because I'm always putting number one here. You know, that's the God I put in front of him. You know, my precious, just right, boom, there it is. You know, and he's going, no, I'm calling you to love me with all your heart, so to make me number one in your life. Because of this, now hold on to your seats, we're going to go to a verse, and it's going to contain the C word, and so here we go. Get ready, buckle your seatbelts. Circumcise, therefore. Oh, man, this is such... why are we talking about this in church? You know, okay, let's talk about this. Because the next word is that you will be no longer stubborn. Other translations say, circumcise your heart because you have a rebel heart. Don't let the word stubborn... Well, I'm not stubborn, but my brother was stubborn. No. Yeah, I had a sister who was really... She was so stubborn. No. We're talking rebel heart here. Rebel heart. And the only... What is he saying? He's saying, look, I asked you to love me with your whole heart, and you don't. You've got a rebel heart. You love, number one, you, before you love me. And that rebel heart is an issue. And that means that we're going to have to do surgery. There's going to involve some blood. Blood will be shed. Blood will be shed. That's the point here. Don't get caught up in the symbol itself, but it's going to cost. In fact, when Adam and Eve stepped over the line, don't step over that line. Here you are, and they step over the line into death. We didn't just catch a cold. We caught a terminal disease. And somehow to deal with it, guys, there's only one solution. And by the way, it's not just a change of heart valve in and out. No. This is a heart transplant. There's got to be a heart transplant that's going to have to happen. And that's going to have to go from a stony heart back to a living heart of flesh. And he said, that's what's going to have to happen because your rebel heart continues. And this is where it gets hard. If I'm born with a rebel heart, And I'm being asked to give love God with all of my heart. My rebel heart saying no. It's like, what's God going to do? How do you fix this thing? I love this. Here it is. Remember, it's Moses, but get ready. Here comes Moses with the new covenant right at the start of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 30, look at this. And the Lord your God will do the surgery. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. I love that part. He's going to not just me, he's talking about my kids too. And your kids, he's saying, I'm going to do this for you. It's my work that I am going to do. And here come the two crucial words in this text. And you only see it like in the ESV. A lot of translations miss it. But here it is. He will circumcise your heart, the heart of your children, so that, I take an underline, so that. In other words, it won't happen. You will not love him so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. So that means it doesn't happen if he doesn't do the surgery. If he doesn't give me the new heart, I will never love him with my whole heart. Because I am so centered on self. You know? And so here it is. The Lord your God will do what it takes in order to bring you into this new reality. The new reality that the Apostle Paul calls in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he calls it the, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. In Christ, a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. That's the reality in Jesus Christ that we're being offered. That's the pearl of great price that's being offered to us if we will say yes to him. And this whole thing about the symbol of circumcision, and you know by the time we get to New Testament, it's being made, well, because of this, then that makes us God's special people and you guys aren't, and all the confusion around that, it couldn't stand any longer. And by the way, it was meant from the very beginning to point toward what? Yes, yes. In fact, look at the verse that proves this, Colossians 2. And in Colossians 2, in him, that is in Jesus, you were circumcised with made with a circumcision without hands. By the way, even back at Moses, when he said, circumcise your heart, heart doesn't have a foreskin, so there you no, this is spiritual language way back there, 3,500 years ago. It's not just about the physical act, it's the spiritual reality that it points to. And here we are, circumcision made without hands, spiritual work of God in our hearts, by putting off the body of flesh. And the body of flesh means what? Rebel heart. My body of flesh is my rebel heart. And in Christ, he's going to put off my rebel. He's going to take my rebel heart and take it with him where? To the cross. He's going to take my rebel heart with him to the cross. By the circumcision of Christ. What is the circumcision of Christ? Jesus shedding blood on the cross. That's what this pointed to right from the get-go. This isn't a cold we just caught and you can take some little pill. No. Having been buried with him in isn't this interesting? The very symbol, circumcision, there with Moses, now becomes a symbol of what? The picture of baptism. Our baptism, united with Christ, we buried with him, we unite with him, die with him, raised up with him into newness of life, new creation, men and women, boys and girls, walking with Jesus. That's the reality you and I are being called to. This goes so far beyond churchianity. Churchianity is, you know, my church does this, we, you know, and we meet on there and we do this and don't. And this is life. This is the pearl of great price that we, this is the treasure in jars of clay that we get to proclaim. Amen? The good news of Jesus. And what it is that he has done and what it is he is doing through his Holy Spirit in our lives as he brings about the realities of the heart surgery that make us alive in Jesus. You were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. He's going to raise us to be new creation people as well. And we go, wow, Lord, you're amazing. So, does totality matter? Totality matters. We were created for this. I heard people on the radio saying, totality is the greatest experience, spiritual experience of my life. I'm going to say the same thing. Not the greatest, but this is a powerful spiritual experience for me, sort of in a negative sense, with a sense of loss. I have the sense of loss. Thank you for Miranda for telling me that in 2020 I can go to Argentina to see it. On my birthday in Argentina. Okay, December 14, 2020, we'll drive to Argentina, honey. Okay, so there we are. So, oh, you know, no, this is very real to me. I will never stop going, oh, that sense of regret of not just driving down the street to see this. Does totality matter? It matters. And this sense of disappointment I've experienced and I'm still experiencing today, it has begun to hit me that my temptation in my life is to say, 99.8 is enough. 99.4, that's good enough. You know, remember I said earlier that I have this, I want a deal, I want it on the cheap, you know? And I'm looking at this and going, no, He's called me to totality, to the reality in Christ that He wants to offer and to give me. I read these verses yesterday and it jumped out at me. I had never seen them as a totality verse before, but in Revelation 3, these are hard words. And when I read it, it hit me. I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or cold. What's the Lord saying? He says, I wish you were 100% this or 100% that. What are you doing trying to live life straddling a rail? Come on over here, 100% here or 100% totality here. Come on. He goes, I wish that, but you're lukewarm. You've chosen to do the percentage thing. You're chosen to see if you can get it on the cheap. You're neither hot nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth. Ah, you talk about disappointment. But there's a book series out there called Left Behind. I haven't thought about that in a long time. I don't believe its premise about the secret rapture. By the way, I do believe in the rapture. I just think it'll happen 7 years later and won't be secret. Okay? So there. But, and I can explain that to you if you want to talk about that. The point is Jesus is going to come from the sky. I want to be there. I do not want to have the disappointment of missing that. Missing the greatest gift, the greatest reality, the greatest totality ever, ever offered. And so it's my prayer. And we're going to close with a song here, team. But my prayer is that the Lord God would indeed grant us the holiness and the faithfulness and give us a desire and a hunger and the holiness and the faithfulness that we need in order to, and the righteousness that we need, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together, lift our voices as we say yes to this good God. Hebrews 10:14. We hear these words that for by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are saying yes to being shaped into the image of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for creating us for totality. Thank you for loving us with totality. Thank you for inviting us into the totality that is ours in Christ Jesus. We're amazed at your grace. We're amazed that you would give us the pearl of great price. And all you ask is that we say yes to you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. On this day, you want to say yes to this Jesus in totality. Just lift your hand and say, Jesus, I say yes to you. Count me in. I love you. Thank you for your amazing love and grace in my life. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. Amen.